Well, I'd like to share a few thoughts with you today concerning a verse which is found in 2 Corinthians, which says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gifts." As you know, at this time of the year, we especially remember the coming of our dear Lord and Saviour into this world. It's a time of praise, a time of thanksgiving, especially for Christians. Most people in the world today are just interested in things from a secular point of view. But as Christians, we praise God and rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order to provide a way of salvation for sinners. You know, most people today can't see beyond the Christmas trees and the baubles and the lights, but as Christians, we greatly rejoice that the Lord Jesus has provided a way whereby our sins can be erased and washed away, and we can one day be given a place in heaven. Now, the promised Messiah was, many prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures relate to the promised Messiah. People waited hundreds and hundreds of years for him to come. They couldn't wait for the time when the Lord would send a Saviour into this world. And when the angels came to the shepherds, they said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And the reason why it's such good news is because we are all sinners. We don't deserve anything from God at all. We're all on our way to a lost eternity. But God, in his abundant love and mercy, has provided a way of salvation and redemption for sinners. If it wasn't for the fact that Jesus left the glories of heaven above to come down to this fallen and sinful world, there would be no hope for any of us. But praise God, in his abundant love and mercy, he has provided this most precious and most priceless of gifts, his own dear Son, who came into this world, and he lived for sinners, and he died for sinners upon Calvary's cross, and he rose triumphant from the grave. So all those who repent and believe in him have all their sins washed away and forgiven. Now, there are many gifts given at this time of the year. You can go round the shops, particularly up in the West End, and the shops, they're heaving with shoppers. You know, the average person may spend maybe £500 or £600 on various gifts for people. And people go heavily into debt during the latter part of the month of December, running up enormous debts on their credit cards. But when we speak to people today about the greatest gift of all, sadly, these people, busy buying gifts for others, have got no time for this precious gift that God has provided for them. A year ago, when we were doing some evangelism and giving out some leaflets to people with some verses from the Bible on them, one lady came up to me and said, "Why are you Christians handing out these leaflets and trying to spoil our Christmas by telling us about God? You would have thought, well, surely this time of the year is supposed to be a celebration of the coming of the Son of God into this world." But most people today just want a secular time. You'd almost imagine, with everything that's going on in our society today, that the message of the Bible and the glorious events which took place in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago has got absolutely nothing to do with the celebration of Christmas at all. There's a big move in our society today to try to remove all traces of our Christian heritage from our nation. People are busy trying to remove Bibles from hospitals and from hotels and from schools. We're told that Christmas cards today mustn't have any quotations from Scripture contained in them, and they mustn't have any illustrations of the nativity scene. Nativity plays have been banned by many local councils and schools. Many carol concerts have also been shelved. Did you know that 74% of employers this time of year have banned their staff from putting up any type of Christmas decorations in case it might cause offence to people in other religions? And yet the reality is that people in other religions aren't in the slightest offended by people putting up Christmas decorations. Even politicians today, they're afraid to use the word Christmas or any reference to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cards which they send out, in case they may be accused of being not politically correct, and as a consequence, their careers may suffer. The best that they're able to come up with is season's greetings. Yes, that's the best that they can do. Only about 1% or 2% of cards today give any indication whatsoever that there is anything biblical or anything spiritual to celebrate at this time of the year. Birmingham City Council renamed this time of the year Winterville rather than Christmas, and lights, which many local councils have put up, are now called winter lights in case they may cause offence to other people. Oh yes, there's a subtle attempt, all right, within our own nation today to try to erase any mention of Christianity out of our society. And this year it's been more noticeable than any other year. But we also notice it's only the Christian faith which is under attack in our nation today. It's the same regarding blasphemy. You see, you always hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ being blasphemed and used as a swear word today, but you never hear anybody using the name of Muhammad as a swear word or the name of Buddha as a swear word. No, it's only the Christian faith which is under attack. You don't hear about political leaders today making efforts to ban Ramadan or Diwali in case these festivals may cause some offence to Christians. No, everything is done in order to promote these festivals. It's only the true Christian faith which is very much under attack within our own nation today. I'm sure at the root of it all is Satan himself. He doesn't want people to hear about the message of the gospel, doesn't want to hear people to hear about the way of salvation, and we shouldn't be surprised in many ways. More than 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that when he did come, he would be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, there was moves put in place to try to slay him. Herod was very envious of this new king which had been born, and he went out trying to slay the infants and the children in order to erase the Lord Jesus Christ from the scene. Apart from a few shepherds and apart from a few wise men who came later on, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ went largely unnoticed. In many ways, he was unwelcomed and unwanted in this world. When he grew up, we're told he went around doing good and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead and preaching the good news of the gospel. Yes, his was the only perfect, flawless, sinless life which has ever been lived throughout all the ages of history. And yet people hated him, people despised him, people conspired to have him apprehended and crucified upon a criminal's cross. Yes, light had come into the world, but men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. And there's almost something sentimental about a little babe in a manger that people feel that they can relate to. But people aren't interested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went around telling them and reproving them about their sin, and telling them to repent of their sins, and to ask God for forgiveness. People hated it when Jesus exposed the false religion and the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. It says in the book of John that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. He was despised and rejected then, and he is despised and rejected today. So we shouldn't be surprised. Human nature hasn't changed at all. Now people love this time of year, not because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because of all the trappings and the trimmings of this season. Oh, people like eating and drinking and making merry. People like the food, people like the drink. People like the parties, people like the presents. People can even put up with the relatives coming around. But please, 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 don't speak to them about God, because that's the last thing which they want to hear. Can you imagine people sitting around at Christmas Day at the Christmas table, enjoying themselves and eating the food and drink, and somebody was to bring up the subject of how, isn't it marvellous that Jesus came into the world to forgive us for our sins and to die in our place on Calvary's cross? You could scarcely imagine that such a conversation would be welcomed. That's the last thing which people want to think about at this time of the year. The name Jesus means Saviour, for he shall save his people from their sins. And yet at this time of the year, we would have to say that there's more sin, not less. There's more covetousness at this time of the year. There's more drunkenness at this time of the year. More drink driving at this time of the year. More gluttony at this time of the year. More immorality at this time of the year. Oh, a time when we should be celebrating the wonderful deliverance that the Lord Jesus came to bring. People despise the Lord Jesus and sin more rather than less. If all the churches were closed at this time of the year, if all the Bibles were put to one side, if all the carol concerts were banned, and every Christian was silenced, I think for the most part, people in society today wouldn't even notice. It wouldn't even interfere with their celebration of Christmas at all. Well, the Lord Jesus is not wanted at this time of the year, and sadly, we would say he's not really wanted at any other type of the year. People are so indifferent and so apathetic today, they're just so not interested in the things of God. But we can praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't universally rejected at his birth. Oh yes, there was Mary, there was Joseph, there was a few shepherds who came, and they were rejoicing and praising God, and there was a few wise men who came later on to give God thanks. And there are a small remnant of people in society today who truly from their hearts celebrate with much joy and thanksgiving the advent of the dear Son of God. It's something which means something to them, not only at this time of the year, but throughout the rest of the year too. There are lots of gifts given by people to others today. Some gifts are very expensive. We're told that, you know, lots of people will spend up to £50 or £100 on each person. Oh, people have lots of money today, lots of affluence in our society today. And many gifts are given which people don't particularly want. You know, sometimes people are given clothes which they never wear, or gadgets which they never use, or CDs which are never played. Even toys and games which are given to children today, they may have been looking forward to it for weeks or months until they open up their present. But the reality is that by the time Boxing Day has come, you know, many kids have just lost interest in these toys and they want to move on to something else. You see, material things can't really satisfy our hearts. You know, people have got to keep chopping and changing their clothes, chopping and changing their music and their presents and their gifts. I wonder how many people this Christmas are still enjoying some of the gifts and presents which they received 12 months ago. I wonder if people can even remember what they were given 12 months ago. But as Christians, we give God thanks for this most precious and priceless gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who satisfies our hearts every day of the year and brings joy and happiness which doesn't wear off on Boxing Day, neither does it disappear when all the tinsel and the baubles have come down and the lights have been switched off in January. You know, many people today who live their lives without God find it all an anticlimax. January comes, they've eaten too much, they've spent too much, and everything seems so empty and bare, and it brings a hollowness and a void to their hearts. People love eating at this time of the year. Far too many chocolates and mince pies and cakes and things like that, and some people become ill. And diet classes are absolutely packed in January as people are making all their New Year resolutions. But as Christians, we can read and study the Word of God any day of the year. It provides food and nourishment for our souls, and we can praise God for the truths contained in this book. People can spend hundreds of pounds on presents, and many people do, maybe £500-600. People are willing to go into debt in order to purchase presents for their loved ones. But what is that compared to this precious gift that God has provided for us? Yes, God has sent his own dear Son into a world where he would be despised and rejected of men, where he would be taken and led off to be crucified, and God knew that in advance, and he still sent his Son into the world in order to die in our place on Calvary's cross so that we might be forgiven. People might be willing today to spend £50 or £100 on one present. That's the cost which they're willing to bear. Would they be willing to sacrifice one of their loved ones, for instance? Oh, somebody within their family, would they be willing to sacrifice that person's life? Of course not. And yet God was willing to give his very best, his own dear son, who came down to this world to be born in Bethlehem's manger and to live a perfect life without sin. And the Lord God saw his son dying upon the cross in the sinner's place. People are happy today to receive gifts which maybe they don't particularly want. They'll receive gifts like socks and hankies and CDs and some clothes which perhaps they think doesn't really suit them very much. They're happy to accept these gifts and they'll be thankful to the person who supplied them. But sadly, when we tell them about something which is so much more precious, the good news of the gospel, they just don't really want to know. They prefer an unwanted material possession, which will just be put to one side and never used, than the gift of salvation and forgiveness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is able to provide them a way to go to heaven and to deliver them from the penalty and the power of sin and from the awful consequences of sin, which is hell. And how foolish is that? They want an unwanted material gift. They prefer that to the gift of God's dear Son. Well, we can praise God for this precious gift all the time. It brings us joy, it brings us happiness, it brings us pleasure which doesn't fade away. People may be willing to supply gifts for their family and for their friends and for their loved ones and for their relatives. People like to supply gifts and perhaps they hope that gifts will be given to them in return. But you know, we read in the book of Romans that God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in that same passage that when we were in due time without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, this most precious gift that God has supplied wasn't for his friends, it was for his enemies. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yes, those people who hammered the nails into his dear hands and feet, Jesus prayed for them upon the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And these soldiers acknowledged, and they said the words, truly, this man was the Son of God. Yes, the precious gift that God has supplied today was given for vile, loathsome, sinful men and women who are unworthy and undeserving of the very least of all of God's mercies. Well, I wonder if somebody's willing to give a gift today for one of their enemies. Somebody who hates them, somebody who despises them, somebody who just treats them as dirt and brings them a tremendous amount of grief and sorrow. You know, most people wouldn't dream of giving a gift to those type of people. And yet God has provided a gift of salvation to us while we were yet sinners. While we were deeply entrenched in our sin with no interest in God, no interest in God's word. We were just living for ourselves, living for our sin, living for the flesh, living for the world. At such a time, God provided a way of salvation for us. Now at this time of the year, when a gift is given, nobody would expect to pay for it. You know, could you imagine somebody opening up one of the presents, and maybe it's a digital camera, and somebody says, well, I supplied you that gift and you owe me £100 for it, how do you want to pay? Couldn't you imagine somebody coming out with something like that? If we were expected to pay for it, then it wouldn't be a gift. Now when we tell people today about God's way of salvation, we tell people that everlasting life is a free gift that God is able to provide for people. And you know, people can't grasp that at all. They say, well surely whether I go to heaven or not must be dependent upon the type of life which I've lived. If I try and live a good life and don't do anybody any harm and try and help people when I can or maybe believe in God or go to church or give to charity or tithe or fast or pray or be baptized, surely these things will earn me or merit me a place in heaven. But the Bible says no. Salvation is not of works, it's by God's grace. And the word grace means God's unmerited favour. Yes, God has provided a gift of salvation. And all we have to do is to turn away from our sins and accept this precious gift of forgiveness which God has freely provided for us.
If it was wages, it would be something which we deserve.
A person can work hard for their employer during the course of the week, and they receive wages at the end of the week. They deserve those wages. They've put in the hours, they've put in the hard graft, and the wages is their reward.
Well, the Bible teaches us that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast.
You see, none of us, by doing things, can reach up to the perfect standard of God. Oh, we can make sacrifices, we can make new resolutions, we can turn over a new leaf, we can make a new start, but we cannot cleanse our hearts from sin. Only the grace of God and the love of God is able to do that. And what we need today is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believing that 2,000 years ago, a person called Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It's a matter of trusting God. And faith means relying upon the person and work of Jesus Christ as the sole ground of my acceptance before God. So that when people come before God on the day of judgment, they don't say, well, Lord, I've tried to live a good life, I've tried to do my best, I've not done my neighbour any harm. No, they say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus loved me and Jesus died for me upon Calvary's cross, and I'm trusting in that old rugged cross and the precious blood that Jesus shed as the sole grounds of my acceptance before you. And God will look at the blood, and the sinner will be welcomed into heaven. You see, God's justice was satisfied when Jesus paid the price of our sins when he died upon the cross in our place. And because his justice has been satisfied, the sinner is able to go free and be welcomed without sin into glory. You see, all of us are justly condemned by the law of God. The wages of sin is death. Yes, that's the consequences of our sin. Death could do nothing about that. But that verse in Romans goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I hope this morning that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world means something to you. In fact, it means everything to you. It's something that you greatly rejoice and praise God for. And you see the significance of the coming of Christ, and you realise that with all the gifts which are given backwards and forwards today, the most precious, the most valuable gift of all is the gift which is most likely to be rejected, the gift of God's dear Son, who's the only saviour of sinners and the only mediator between God and man. So surely we can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift is so wonderful, so precious, and so priceless that words can't adequately convey what a precious gift it is. And this is what we celebrate at this time of the year. We celebrate the advent of God's dear Son coming into this world as a little child who grew up to love us and to die in our place and to rise again from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ is alive today, and all those who repent and believe in him and trust in him will have all their sins washed away and forgiven, and they will enjoy that glorious salvation that Jesus came to bring. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.